Welcome to Hex, the sisterhood of the supernatural.
Welcome to episode 109 of Hex, the sisterhood of the supernatural. I'm Shannon, and I'm here with my sister,
Susie.
And we're here to talk all supernatural TV.
All the time.
On this week's episode, we have oodles and oodles and oodles of shows to talk about with recent episodes of Teen Wolf, Continuum. We're going to talk about Sinbad, premiered here on Space July 8th, as well as the season finale of Factor Fate, and the season premieres of School Spirits and Haunted Highway, and their second episode as well. So it's like endings, it's like beginnings, it's middle.
Yeah, a lot of summer TV, Shannon. How'd that happen?
Oh, I know. And then we have new stuff starting next week, too. So, with the Alphas and the Almighty Johnsons. Oh, which I wanted to show you. This is so cool. Something that I got. I'm sorry. You guys have to indulge me. I'm showing Susie something.
Okay, no, Shannon, I'll record it. Hold on. Go.
Okay, so one thing that's really cool is next week, Alphas and the Almighty Johnson starts. And Space was kind enough to send me screeners. But not only that, they sent me superpower pills. It was a double dose on Monday, and they literally put in more in the Monday slot because Alphas and the Almighty Johnsons are on Monday. So they're actually, I think they're jelly beans. But this is really cool because it's like a caterpillar thing. You can actually take it.
Oh! Here I am thinking you broke it.
Oh, no. And what's awesome is actually, you know, I actually use these. And these are what mine look like. And I'm actually missing one, so I can actually use it.
Oh, yay, Space, thank you.
Space. I'll have to eat the jelly beans first because they're not going to, you know, actually because I need to put what I need to have in here. But I'll be super powered and awesome. It was such a treat. I didn't even know I was getting these. So I'm also really excited because these are both on, yes, I'm going to say it one more time, my birthday. and I'll finally be out.
So thank you, Space.
Thank you, Space. Awesome. So that's our...
Okay.
Okay, so that's our first bit of news. And there's more news. I guess that's not news. That's just, like, enthusiasm. but we actually do have a fair amount of news this week because it was Comic-Con. So we will put up links and videos if people want to check out. There are tons of places that were in Comic-Con. Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, Lost Girl, Haven, Factor Fate were all there, and actually I think more of the shows would be there. I'd be very surprised if True Blood wasn't there, but I don't remember seeing anything. I haven't even caught up with season 4, so I'm sort of out of the True Blood game. But True Blood has been picked up for season 6.
I did see that. Yeah. That's amazing. Good for them.
Yeah, so
I'm still waiting for True Blood season 4 in my library. I'll probably see it sometime next year.
Yeah. I taped it. I had the Movie Network last summer, but I just with the move and all the craziness, I just and we decided not to talk about it and maybe talk about it later. So I wasn't sure we can do that, and we still may. Who knows? I'm behind on that, but I think one of the big things is that Alan Ball, the creator, is not going to be, they're not going to be involved, they're not going to be the showrunner, don't quote me on that.
Oh, interesting.
Sixth season, he decided to go to 5,
right.
All right, so that'll be different, so we'll see, or we won't, I don't know, like I still want to catch up on it, I never meant to stop watching.
No, same here, I want to watch it too.
Yeah, and speaking of renewals, we have more exciting news. Teen Wolf actually got renewed for season 3. With 24 episodes.
Wow.
So, to be honest, I'm, like, totally confused. Because, like, the press release doesn't say whether or not it's going to be next summer. Because 24 episodes with a summer show, how can you do that? That's, like, twice as long. Three times.
I think they'll go syndicate. I think they'll go regular season.
You do? But
I don't know when. Maybe in the winter?
Yeah, or another model that they might use, and one of the reasons why Teen Wolf was not on at its normally scheduled time here in Canada this month is because Degrassi was on Monday, so Teen Wolf was on at 10:30 instead of 10. I know you had trouble watching it, right?
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I wondered what happened because I'm like, I know I did it right. Yeah. I know I did it right. And then I'm like, what's going on? This is last week and I was all confused and I had to watch it online. And then the feed was cut. So I have some questions for you this week.
Oh, Sharon. Okay.
Yeah, so I missed a good chunk.
Yeah. Well, it's because Degrassi has new episodes on Much Music and they on, I don't remember exactly the format, but it's on multiple times new a week. So I wonder if Teen Wolf will have multiple new episodes a week. Because so much happens on the show.
I know. And this week, I mean, I was, especially since we missed some, I was so confused.
So I'm really excited. I really like it. But I really do like it. Like Haven, I really enjoy it as a summer show. So I kind of hope they don't put it into a fall season, especially if, I don't know if they're going to dovetail into this fall. Because it's like, there's already so much in fall. Like, I don't want it to drop off my own viewing schedule because I really enjoy it. So,
it might be like Lost Girl instead of coming, like, you know, like it started off as a summer show, then it went to a fall show, and I think it might show up like Lost Girl's going to next year in the winter.
Yeah, and
but we'll just have to see. I find there's less competition in the winter because people usually take like 2 to 3 month breaks. But then they overlap eventually, which sucks.
Yeah, well, it looks like some shows are trying to alleviate that this year. I think both CW is taking the approach with Vampire Diaries and Supernatural is starting way, way later and going straight through. So,
right.
And also, winter shows have not been doing well. A lot of the ones that we tried, Awake, Alcatraz.
Yeah.
Just, you know, they start in January.
The River.
And The River, you know, and they just taper off, and which is too bad because I think all... Alcatraz, I found the formula just too quickly, but the other shows I did like, but then when our shows came back, I was like, well, you know, I only have so much time to watch a week, and they fell off, even though I do wish I had seen all of the River. I really like that one. And you mentioned Lost Girl, and you're right that it did, we did hear at some point this past week that it was going to be starting in winter 2013.
Right.
So we won't see that right away. And also, its third season is only 13 episodes. They're going down from
22
to 13, or thereabouts.
Whoa, Lost Girl?
Yeah.
Holy crap, that's a big difference.
Yep, it's going back to more of a half season or
something. Oh. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that. Although the first season I loved, and it was only 13-ish episodes.
Yeah, but I loved having more.
Yeah. True. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Okay, so
we'll
I think that's most of the news. Oh, I found a Haven blog that it's got tons of spoilers, though, and there's been lots of casting news that I've been trying to avoid, but some of it is seeped in. But it's a pretty good blog called havenmain.blogspot.com, if people want to check
it out. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they have lots of Comic-Con coverage and recaps and pictures and stuff like that, so it was a really great find, but I might wait till... the show's going to check it out. And I got more news on, remember we talked about the show Vikings?
Yeah.
With Gabriel Byrne? We've gotten some more casting news and show info for it, and ooh, wow. What? Oh, crap. Hey, Shannon's using a different computer, so
You sound a bit different this week, too, Shannon. I thought I'd mention that.
Like, weird? Like, I sound quieter?
Yeah, like, I can hear external... No, I can hear external stuff. So...
Is that better?
What?
Is that better?
I don't know.
Oh, well.
I'm just saying it. You can tell Shannon is using a different computer. That's all.
I think, this computer... It's also very warm, so I have... Like, if the fan in the computer is going really, and I have an external fan, and so there's some stuff like that. So sorry about that.
Yeah, just so our listeners know, Shannon is in Toronto, and they're going through a major, major heat wave. They have been. Today it's a bit better, but it's been pretty darn brutal.
Yeah.
So her computer is working overtime, I think.
New computer. Ooh, I just pressed something. I hope that didn't do anything. Okay. So
it sounded weird.
I know. It got a weird sound going on. Okay, so History and Shaw announced additional casting, I'm quoting, literally quoting, for their new scripted series Vikings, including Travis Fimmel as Ragnar, the first great Viking leader, a man of both history and myth, so it looks like they're taking some liberties, Gustav Skarsgård as Floki, a close friend of Ragnar's who's an eccentric jokester, yet innovative, creative boat builder.
Boat builder, that's neat.
Yeah, well, if you think of Viking and Norse and Norway.
Yes, of course. And that's not just kind of boat building, that's like Viking boat building.
Yeah, and then we also have Clive Stansden as Rollo, Ragnar's excessive cruel cousin, and two Canadian actresses, Jessalyn Jizig, to play Siggy Earl Hurldson's beautiful wife, Catherine. Oh, sorry, beautiful wife. Wow, all we find out about her character is that she's someone's wife. And Catherine Winnay.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Yeah, well, yeah. Everyone on TV is beautiful. And Catherine Winnig will play Lagareth, Ragnar's first wife and famous shield maiden, who often flies alongside him. Awesome!
Oh, a shield maiden. Now that I can get into.
So, yeah, so I don't have a date yet on when this is going to happen, but it's done by History Channel here in Canada, so I'll put the link for more, for the full press release, because it goes on and on and on. So I'm excited about that one. And, of course, Gabriel Byrne is the big name that is connected to it, and we love him.
We love him.
I can say that with confidence.
He's from Absolutely.
In treatment, and I also know him from Stigmata. That's how
I always think of Stigmata when I think of him. Isn't that funny?
Oh, too funny. Okay, so that's the news of this week. Did you have any news for me?
Oh god. We started picking up pieces for Reg's costume, and a big piece came in the mail this week. Of course, I can't reveal what it is.
For Halcon.
For Halcon, and he looks awesome.
Oh, that's so cool.
I wish I could share, and I will share. We're thinking about making it a documentary, how he's putting it together, like a little documentary.
Oh my god, that's a great idea.
Wouldn't that be great? Because I've got my new camera, and because it's pretty intricate, and I think it's going to be amazing. So that's my own personal news, not really TV news, but it is kind of super. Well, it's Halcon.
It's Halcon.
So I'm covering Halcon for Hex. So fair.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. I think we're ready to go into show talk.
Okay, Shen, you want to start with Teen Wolf?
We are definitely going to start with Teen Wolf.
All right.
Okay, Teen Wolf. Season 2, Episode 8, Raving. And, oh, I forgot to do a blurb this week. I'm like, where are my notes? already an opportunity for editing. Though we don't have them. Okay, so this one's all, raving, like it was a rave, like the party concert thing.
I didn't even know that was the name of the title of the suite, Shannon. Yes, you're right.
And I totally didn't put the two together because I kept on talking, like last week when they were talking about this event, they kept on talking about it like a concert. But then there was no recording artist type person. It was just like DJ lady. Or not. I don't think she was the DJ.
No, she was sort of running the gig.
A promoter.
Yeah.
Okay, so Teen Wolf, raving. So, okay, so the thing is, this is the episode where everyone has a plan. Everyone has a plan to get Jackson. And so the hunters have a plan. Scott and Derek and the gang have a plan. And to capture him at the rave, apparently. Let's call it a rave, anyway.
Yeah.
And Allison sort of the link between the two, because she knows they're both, she ends up knowing they're both are working on it. I actually thought this episode was really cool, because it had some, like, the vet was helping the, like, Scott and Derek and Styles, and then we get more, it got more supernatural on that element, because it was really like casting a spell with Styles.
I know, I have a question about that for you when we get to it. Yes, it's, and I missed that part, damn it.
Oh!
That's where they dropped the feed, was when the vet was telling them about all the magical stuff they're going to be using and how to use it. I'm like,
oh my God.
That's why I watch these shows. And they cut out the saddle. Like, cut out. There's nothing we could do.
Oh, that sucks. Because their plan, we need like a name for them, like Scott and Styles and the gang. Their plan was to like drug him with some kind of
Catamir.
Yeah, Catamir. Which Isaac tried to do, but initially was not successful, but then did do it. But it became clear that the hunters weren't trying to capture Jackson, they wanted to kill him. But then they ended up trying to, the Alice's mom tried to kill Scott. Like, it was kind of all over the place. And I do have to raise a bit of a red flag here. We left off last week with Lydia seeing visions and seeing Peter under the ground, and there was nothing.
No, it was all about trying to catch the bad guy this week, and that was pretty much it. She wasn't even on the show.
Yeah.
I don't remember her.
And it's weird, because they've distanced her from the other people, so it's not like everyone's like, hey, where's my friend Lydia? I get that, but it's like, it was this huge cliffhanger and this huge reveal, and they had nothing.
Yeah, I know.
Nothing to do with it. And then, okay, the photographer guy, he apparently has a name. His name is Matt. It was the good thank you writers. They put it a lot. It was in this one episode a lot. I was like, okay, obviously he's like a, you know, prominent character. He's like pseudo-dating Allison. You know, and all that good stuff, but there were so many loose threads, like Jackson just sort of gets a phone call or something, or gets a text, and then, like, goes to buy a ticket to the rave, and it's like, who was it, right? Because it doesn't feel like it would be the person who can control him, because why would they use that method?
I don't know. That I don't know. There's so much I missed. I feel like I missed so many major elements. Again, I thought that scene where Jackson goes to the woman to buy the ticket, yeah. Man, and he was creepy.
Yes.
He was on the edge of going over the top, but he didn't.
Yeah.
And how he just tilts his head as the elevator goes up, and she's like, that's it, we're done.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I just, you know, I didn't, in the beginning, I mean, he was so arrogant and horrible and everything like that. And then it's like, this is a whole other realm of creepy for him.
Yeah.
So I did see that part. I don't really know why. I mean, I'm. It sounds like all of the people that are part of what's going on with Jackson are like telekinetically.
Do you think there's more than one?
That's what the thing said. We are all here.
Yeah, because we did get to when Isaac and Erica did eventually capture Jackson, and he started to. Like emulate that he was the comedian, but not changing color yet. But he did say we are both here. But they did the vet did talk about the idea of having to catch not just the puppet but the puppeteer and using that as a tactic,
right?
Which is one of the why they tried to find something that would disable both of them, including that mountain ash tree powder that style.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
That's the part I missed. So it's mountain ash.
Ash tree.
Tree.
Powder. And they said...
Are we going back to ash tree? Wasn't that also for Vampire Diaries? It's a white ash?
It was a white oak tree.
White oak. Okay, so this is ash. Because I thought it was black salt, which would be real magic, so...
Yeah. Well, the thing that they tied it to is that Styles had to put it around the area of the rave, and that he had to be the spark. He had to actually believe it for it to work. And he eventually did... have that happen, and he was like all like elated. He was like, I made something happen. Like, it was really cute.
I'm a wizard.
Like, you know,
it was quite adorable.
Yeah, because he's actually one of the characters that is like pretty unlike, you know, he's not supernatural in any way, you know, so he's pretty unempowered technically, you know, if you look at it on paper, although he's a great character. I like probably my favorite character of the show. But
actually, we were talking about it. He's not even in the intro, is he?
No, he
just
is.
Just a two-cup? He is in the intro?
Yes. I had to rewatch it the first time it came on because I was so mad. Because they show Scott, and then they show Allison, and then Styles walks totally towards the screen. I think he's in front of a car. He is on it.
Okay, good. Because I missed that, and I was watching him going... I watch it. You know, he's a big reason why I like the show, so I'm glad he's in the intro.
Yeah, me too. So, yeah, and sometimes when they show the people, I realize sometimes when they show people, you can't necessarily tell who they are. Like, there's, like, this one black, it's probably Lydia, like, a slender body that's all black goo, and, you know, it's probably her, but I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyway, so now that black mountain ash was to keep all supernatural entities inside?
Inside and out. So it's like they, you know, if you're in,
right,
you're stuck. If you're out, you can't go in. And it kind of looked like Gerard couldn't go in, which got me going, maybe he is the one who's controlling it all. Because I really do think, I don't know if I mentioned that last week, but I really do think that's a possibility, because it's a way for them to show that there's, you know, it's their werewolves are uncontrollable, so they can just get rid of them all and screw the code and all that kind of stuff.
Well, that was my impression, that when they showed up, they spent all their ammo and everything on the werewolves.
Yeah.
So they were basically out by the time, you know, is it Canamar? No. I always forget the
Canama. It's like Canama. Canada. Canama.
Oh, Canama. Okay, yeah. I remember.
I used to say Canema, but it's Canama, like Canada.
Canama. Yeah. Okay, Canama. I started to get the feeling that it was more about the hunters attacking the werewolves. And the whole idea is also that the two, no one's plan really came to fruition at first because each other's plan jumped on each other's plan, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's made a bit of a mess of it. And then you had that, a lot of conflict between Scott and Allison because he didn't know. She told him, I'm going to tell them, but he didn't take that into consideration when it came to the plans. Like, their communication skills were not very good.
No.
And then, of course, we had the extra thing happen where Allison's mom sees Scott and Allison together, so she's got her own personal agenda against Scott.
The look she gave, like, oh my God, like, it reminded me of, like, the mother in Carrie. Like, I was just like, you do not want to mess with this woman. Like, she's just going to rip you apart.
It's true. She was scary looking, that's for sure.
But she wears heels.
You know what? That's true.
She does. So.
And, of course, if we're gonna continue along that front, of course, Derek saves Scott in the end, which was awesome. I really loved that when they had that moment. She says, how could you shouldn't be an Omega. And he's like, I'm not. And then he howls. And Derek comes, and it's revealed that she gets bitten.
Yes.
So if she is the Canama?
Canama, yeah.
Canama? Then what does that mean?
Yeah.
And we finally see a moment of tenderness between her and her husband.
I know. Like, and never before. Like, so much so that this season, like, she was barely in last season. Like, so much so that when there was one dinner party scene, I was like, whoa, like, who is that? And I thought it was cultivated at some point, and at some point with them, I kind of felt like, I don't know, like, this is a long family line or something, or maybe they're, like, brother and sister or something creepy like that, but no, like, she's really... But then they talk about, this season, they did talk about how the dynamic is that the women make the decisions. Like, that's the women are the people in power. But it doesn't look like Gerard is. He's a little older school than... than that. Speaking of parents, another huge development was Styles' dad. It's unclear whether he's either laid off or he was fired or if it's temporary or if it's permanent because Styles not only stole police property but got a restraining order. And that was another amazing moment in the show because he, you know, decided not to, like, discipline or get mad at Styles because he already thought he would feel so bad or something like that.
Well, and also, it's funny because it transitions from him and Styles really bonding over trying to figure out the case together. And I love it. You know, he's like, I'm not going to talk about this case with my son. Let's talk about the case.
I love it. It was a great moment, though. Like, I thought he might have gotten in trouble for that, for the fact that, you know,
right.
Styles didn't send them to the police, you know, but here they are. Like, even Styles is looking at the board and stuff like that and is, like, trying to connect the dots.
And I love the board. It really reminded me of the board of Weird. You watch Smallville, but Smallville always had the board of weird, so it reminded me of that.
It's on my list. Watching Smallville is on my list.
That's a big one, Shannon.
I know. If it ever goes into syndication, definitely doing it. Or if I can ever get the box set for really cheap, which is not, like, it's still over $200. But anyway, wish list.
That's a good idea.
The, I was just thinking about Scott and Styles and his dad and the board. One thing, though, I felt like it was a very powerful emotional moment, although over time it may bring him, Scott Styles' dad, into the fold of being able to help, right? Because if he won't have a conflict of interest because he won't be police anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought immediately. I said, Styles, tell your dad what's going on.
Yeah.
And that could also help him get his job back, too, if he really knew what was going on.
Right.
But I thought that was really good, you know, because, I mean, here the teenagers are acting recklessly, they're breaking laws, and so far there hasn't been really big repercussions. And this is a huge repercussion.
It's huge.
And that the fact that the dad didn't take it out on the son, you know, it was just, like, you could tell he was just too tired. He just he was done. Yeah. It's like, aw. And he's still on the case. He still wanted to know who the woman was. Of course, the theory was that the people that are being killed are murderers of somebody who was in that science class.
That's right, the class of 2006, which looks like, it looks like Akanema, who's controlling Jackson, was killed by the class of 2006, right? Is that the long
people? Some people in it, yeah. That Jackson says through the with the voice of the Akanema that I'm killing the people who killed me.
Yeah.
So that was really interesting. And so I'm like, well, is it a ghost? Is it what?
I don't know. Well, and those people include the man and woman who are in the trailer park, and
yeah.
the brother of the guy of Isaac's dad, so Isaac's uncle. So that was a mistake, I guess that does let us know that Isaac didn't kill his dad, because that was kind of a bit of a loose end. We weren't quite sure. Mm-hmm. And then also the promoter for this concert was also, and then they also showed the science teacher with the glasses.
Yeah, he's involved in that class. Yeah. I think he's too young to have been teaching it, but he might be in it.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Or I thought he looked extraordinarily similar in the picture they showed of him from that class of whatever, as he does now. So I think there might be something.
I think there's something going on with that teacher.
Yeah, and he took a very young girl to the dance.
Yes, that's true. That was quite funny, actually. She's 18. But the woman who was murdered at the rave,
yeah.
she was not in the class.
No, she was.
So she wasn't on the list, though.
She wasn't on the list, but there was one name already crossed out. But they showed her picture, because they showed her picture. Styles, Styles was looking at her picture, and then they faded to her. So maybe she just didn't graduate.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah. And then, of course, we have the veterinarian having that conversation with the guidance counselor. Yes. It looks like they're connected in some way, yes. and that she's not the Akanema, and that something dark is coming.
Yes, and the vet doesn't want to tell them because they have enough to deal with.
Yeah, so there, I mean, like, after this episode, I'm like, oh my god, there's just so much going on as usual in this show.
I know. It's like one of those things that freaks me out that they would go to 24 episodes, is that, like, there's already so much that happens in 12. Like, how could they even...
Well, maybe they'll do a little bit of pacing,
yeah.
which would probably be a good idea, because it's insane.
Yeah, and the only thing, like, they, like, I do find that they're getting into what I call the True Blood funk of, like, now they have too many characters, like Matt's
right.
almost every episode. I like him, he's an interesting character. I don't understand him, I don't know what his motivations are, but when you bring in new people and you don't kill off old people, you have too many. Like, to have a whole episode without Lydia, that feels strange to me. Like, she feels like part of the core cast, and she's a really good actor, so I miss seeing her, and she had such a huge thing happen last week, so
Yeah,
I even put, where is Lydia? 25 minutes in. Like, no more. So, yeah, I'm really curious to see how it goes. And I was really surprised at some of the, they have lots of cool supernatural elements in terms of, like the powder and whatever Allison's mom was using to try and kill Scott, that it looked like an asthma attack.
Oh, the wolf spain.
Yeah, that she was making it smoke or something. Or making it come into the atmosphere or something like that. So I thought there were lots of cool elements like that. And it's been really neat to see. I thought it's been a good season. Although this one was a bit like, what?
I know, I was like, oh my god, how come this one is the one that I don't get on my PVR, so I can't go back, you know, and all
that. I hear you. Well, I had that problem with Continuum last week, so it's kind of funny.
Yeah, exactly.
I only saw the ending of last week's episode after we talked. And just so you know, Teen Wolf, it looks like it's going to continue to maybe be on at 10:30, so to be on after Degrassi, because Degrassi's on, like, 4 days a week or something at 10 o'clock, which is so weird, because I think of Degrassi as, like, a teen show, I guess. I don't know. But it's on at 10 o'clock in the summer. So it's like, that's pretty late. But it is in summer.
Yeah.
Anyway. If anyone doesn't know Degrassi.
It's even later because it's an hour ahead.
Oh, yeah.
So for me, that's why I can't possibly watch these shows live, because it's just... Well, it's just getting too complicated now. So I'll add time before and time after and hopefully get the whole thing, because it's not like there's anything on right now. Yeah. So.
And it wasn't, like, I checked my local listings or whatever, and that it said it was on at 10, and it wasn't. It was on at 10:30. So check your actual TV or the website.
I did. And so I'm just going to add time before and after.
Yeah, that's a good one. And then next week will be challenging because Almighty Johnson's premieres and season 2 of Alpha's premieres. So it's like Monday is like crazy day.
That is crazy.
So are we going to wrap up Teen Wolf?
Yeah, I think we're done Teen Wolf, Shannon.
Okay, well, it is new next week, so watch Butch Music all night. Except for when you're watching space. Okay, so that takes us to...
Continuum.
Okay, so Continuum Season 1, Episode 7, The Politics of Time. So hard not to sing. The Politics of Dancing. Okay, so this, okay, Carlos is in a lot of trouble in this episode. big focus on him with,
Kira?
Thank you. So Kira's trying to get more friendly, you know, in general on Alex's advice, you know, and almost, you know, sort of ask Carlos for a beer, but he's already on to the next thing to rescue, it looks like, a friend from another situation. But then as it turns out, I couldn't tell if she was an old flame, actually.
He said he knew her growing up.
So he, you know, gets her away from sort of crazy situation and then has a sort of, and then sleeps with her. And then she ends up dead. So, very complicated.
Also, not a good night for Carlos, and always.
Because she rescued him from another old friend who's big in politics, and a union dude, and under lots of scrutiny. What?
Battlestar Galactica.
Of course, Halo. I was like, oh my god, it took me half the episode to realize that it was Halo. I was like,
you're kidding.
I know.
I always call him the Kurgan. Because on Battlestar Galactica, it's like the guy was so cut, yeah. And he's got such an intense face that he always reminds me of the Kurgan from Highlander.
Oh, that's so funny. I noticed it when he was standing beside Carlos, and I was like, holy crap, he is tall. And then I realized,
he's
tall. Sean BC, it's got to be Halo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really like him as an actor.
Me too.
So that was really awesome to see. Even though he was... Well, this is another one of those episodes where it's like... I didn't realize that it's got a bit of a procedural format going on, because...
Oh, no, does it? I haven't picked up on that yet, but that makes sense.
Well, you know, this is all about whodunit, right? Woman dead.
Yeah.
What happened? So they have to figure it out. And actually, it took all... It was quite the mousetrap. Like, it was... Everyone felt like a suspect at some point, and I had no idea who it ended up being. And it was this huge, it was a good title with The Politics of Time, because it was this huge, elaborate, I don't even understand it kind of thing. Like, I don't. Politics is not my thing. Get more than three parties involved, I'm like, I'm out of here. So it looks, I think eventually it's revealed that it's the political guy's assistant connected, and or wife connected with Liberate to get money, and this woman who's a journalist found out, so they had her killed. And then they also went to go kill Carlos, and it ended up being the blonde-haired woman of the time travelers.
Well said. Yes, that's right.
They had some crazy tech stuff going on in this one, like being able to like rewind through real time using cell phone data to map out the physical space of which people occupied on a particular moment in time. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Although, you know, Reg is always really not impressed with new tech ideas, like Star Trek type stuff, you know, how none of it's believable. He actually thought that was kind of credible, that it actually, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually smart tech. I was like, whoa, that's kind of scary.
It is, and it's actually been one of the things I think they played with really well in this show, is to show, like, because in our current day reality of Liberate being in 2012, what they do is scary, but then every time we see the future, where Kira is, all the things that she finds out about the police and the government,
yeah,
scary. And in this case, it was a little more personal than scary, because she found out, it was revealed that she found out her husband had an affair, or a fling, with her friend before they got married, and her friend was surprised that she actually didn't do a tech check on him, because yeah, she has access to so much data. So that was...
And that actually explains also why, I've been feeling tension between the two of them, yeah, their entire relationship.
Yeah.
And that's pretty clear that they decide to stay together despite that. And I have to say, that scene where the guy comes on to Kira in the washroom was very disturbing.
Yes, he totally just grabs her, and it's like, whoa, dude.
Like, yeah, it was really disturbing. Like, and you notice she didn't tell her husband about that. Yeah. Oh, and she nails him, yeah, which is good.
Yeah.
She has an automatic quick reaction to it, which I was really glad. But I was like, whoa, we have not had that kind of content on this show before.
No, not
at all.
At all.
So that was a bit... but anyway, that ties all that in as to who you can trust and how things are being monitored in your... Everything,
yeah,
is being monitored in your life. Yeah. A tech check. That's pretty...
Yeah. Well, and I thought it was interesting because one of the future shots that they had of Kira and her husband, he actually talks about... He was wondering if she might not remarry him. And I was wondering what the situation was like that in the future, because it felt, you know, just... It didn't feel super explained. Like, relationships might be a bit different. And I know some science,
yeah,
fiction I've read has that kind of idea that you can sort of, like, renew your contract with each other. You know, you don't, you know, you're married for X amount of time, but you don't have to stay together. So I wonder,
right,
if they're using that kind of model. I don't know, because it's been,
yeah,
very clear that she very much loves her son, but her and her husband are kind of not as close. So that was interesting,
yeah,
to see. So, yeah, this episode was
kind of
crazy.
Yeah, and you're sitting there waiting for the liberate element, because it was so huge last week.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's the undercurrent of everything that's happening in this episode. It's just we don't know about it.
Yeah.
We don't know why. We're given so many other variables that it could be.
Yeah.
And that it ended up being liberate all along, which is really interesting.
And then there's also the piece with Kira getting, like, she had to get into the technology to do that crazy thing about finding the physical spaces. And she could, and Alec was like, I can't do that. And she's like, I can't do that. So they had to go to Kellogg. I don't know how Kellogg could do that, to be honest.
Well, he's a mastermind. I think that's the idea, is that he's a genius in all different ways, but especially socially.
But
he found somebody who could do it.
Oh, okay. So they have a, now they have a trade-off with him, that he can have monitoring over his boat or his yacht,
yeah,
as a trade-off. So even though, and Kira, was it this episode that Kira found out that he took her orange piece?
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
And also,
well, she didn't tell him that.
No, she didn't. She didn't. And also Alec is trying to repair Kira's suit, which seems to, like, supercharge his computers and stuff.
It seems to be almost its own entity.
Yeah.
Like, it can repair itself, it's almost self-aware, it automatically is checking out its new surroundings electronically.
Yeah.
And it seems to be its own power source for Alec's computer system.
Yeah.
Like, to be able to do stuff Alec can't do on his own. Which,
yeah,
is kind of convenient, but considering he probably designed the suit in the future.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. So that it would work when it came back into the past. It's, you know, like...
Yeah.
It has to be self-working, because he would know that it's going to go back when he doesn't know how to do all that. This is very clever. I like the time thinking that they do there, the time travel thinking and logic. It's very interesting, very different.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I like this episode, but I can't say it was my favorite. Yes, it was interesting to see Carlos and get to know him a bit better,
yeah,
and it tested the trust between him and Kira.
That's right. She
went
out on a limb for him. She knew it was him, but she feigned that, you know, oh, it might not be for a while. But he got suspended and then back all in the same episode.
Yeah, and his butt kicked.
Yeah, naked shower attack.
It kind of makes sense that it was the blonde woman from Liberate,
yeah,
because I was thinking those two other women, I don't care if they were on the lacrosse team or what. That was an assassin.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I was like, oh my God, of course it was her. She's like the toughest person on the show.
Totally. She's very, with the exception actually of the guy that died, the Liberate guy, the Asian guy, he was maniacal though.
Yeah, that's true.
It's crazy, but she is tough as nails.
Yeah.
Kicks a lot of butt. So, fun episode.
Yeah, it was good.
So, is that it?
Yeah, that's it, Shannon.
Okay, as far as I know, Continuum is new next week, and it's getting close because it's only 10 episodes, and this was 7, so that would mean only 3 more.
Oh my God, 3?
I know.
Oh, I really want to go as Kira for Halcon, but I've been trying to come up with a way to spray paint a cat suit like bronze brown, and I just don't.
There is a material that just kind of looks like that.
What is it?
Well, whatever she's wearing. I don't know. Like, it's not...
Not spandex.
No, it's like the new PVC. I actually know what it is, but... You see it on...
Maybe I'll write the show and ask them.
Yeah, you should do that. But, you know, there's that... Ford movies. There's that movietickets.com commercial with the...
Yeah?
And the girl wears gold pants that are just that material. I don't know what it is.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd love to wear that. I'd love to go as Kira. Anyway, sorry. Okay. So, Shannon, what show are we talking about next?
Sinbad.
Is it Sinbad? Yeah. Yay!
Okay, so Sinbad. Season premiere. We talked briefly last week. Susie mentioned she had seen it, but I had not. And then also, you watched episode 2, right?
I did, Shannon.
And with the lovely simplicity of British... show titles. They're simply called episode 1 and episode 2. So we have the series introduction of the world of Sinbad. Him and his brother are sort of street urchin types, I guess.
Poor.
Tricksters, poor, thieves, sharks, kind of fight sharks, I would say.
Yes.
Hustlers, kind of.
Hustlers, definitely.
But, Sinbad's actually quite free-spirited and nice, I found, and his brother is pretty, is more of the rational one. So, but in an inadvertent, it was quite tragic in the opening of the first episode, Sinbad inadvertently kills his opponent, and it really didn't seem intentional, I don't know.
No, I think the...
I can't hear you very well. You moved your mic, sorry.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
I think that the woman who is the witch or the magic...
Sorry, you're too quiet. I'm sorry.
Shoot. I'm trying not to have that in my ear, but okay. The woman who is the magic user?
Yeah.
She looks at him and then he dies. Like, he's suffering. Like, he's hurt. But then I sense that she killed him.
Okay.
Yeah. But it wasn't very... It wasn't very obvious.
Yeah. Well, because Sinbad actually throws him against the wall, and it looks like he can't get up, but it was kind of like, oh, that was just like a really hard fall, but then he's dead. It's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
So it turns out he was in line to be. Now, I apologize if I get any of these terms wrong, but a mirror, like some kind of hierarchy person in power, and he is the... son of the current Amir? I don't know if
it's... Saeed.
Sorry. He was in line. He's the son of Saeed from Lost. But so he was in line to be the next power.
Because the guy who is in power doesn't have any children.
Oh, okay. I didn't pick up on that.
I think that is established, yeah.
Yeah. So, Saeed's big, bad... man and decides to kill Sinbad's brother. His mom gets really pissed and banishes.
Yeah, and that's when I was like going, wow, this isn't the kid show. That was...
I was wondering, because you said that last week, that it didn't feel like a kid show, and I was like, but, like, with the exception of the fighting, and that was really ruthless. But to me, it really reads a lot, like, it reminds me a lot of Merlin.
Yeah, no, totally, yeah. I would agree, but Merlin... I mean, yes, kids can watch it, but it's also it's more adult to me than kid-like, that sort of thing. So,
okay.
For me, the murdering of Sinbad's brother just set the tone for me that it's more adult than it is for kids.
Mm, interesting.
Because it was ruthless. It was brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, both the other guy dying and Jamal dying in the first episode was a lot. And then his mom banishes him to not be able to set foot off.
No, his grandmother.
Is it his grandmother? It was hard.
Yeah, his mom is kind of comatose. I don't know
if she has a spell on her. That seems way too young to be his mom.
I thought it was. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought that was his grandmother.
Okay.
She seemed too old to be his mother.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Not sure of the dynamics there. She's definitely the matriarch, though. It was her house.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She banishes him so he can't set foot on water for more than 24 hours, or one day, like,
on land, I mean.
Sorry. One cycle of the
heat getting this.
Oh my god.
I know I'm dying here.
Yeah. And so he has to go and be set for sea. Go set for sea. So that was sort of the gist of. The series setup, really.
Yeah.
No,
and then he ends up on a ship that's attacked by a water monster, and pretty much everybody who knows anything about a ship is dead.
Yeah.
So the people that are left next to the cook aren't part of the crew. And the cook has to teach them all how to do everything.
Right. I like the cook.
Sailing. I do, too.
Yeah. It's kind of cool, though, because they end up with, like, sort of, like, the cook, a doctor, a stowaway thief girl, a northerner.
Princess?
Oh, yeah, and the princess girl. Because that's right. The other big thing is that Sinbad and Jamal, like, stole something from this woman and her dad. And her dad was like, oh, my God, he's from Harry Potter.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he's, I'm trying to remember. He has a more prominent role in the books. He's one of the, the guard, the good...
Okay.
With the Order of the Phoenix.
Ah.
And also the more, I don't know what they're called. Whatever Moody is. Anyway. So, in the later films. But, they steal something which looks kind of like hair.
Right.
Mostly. And Sinbad just throws it over, and they are all really... freaking out.
Yep. Now, I don't know if that's part of what started the bad sort of mojo for Sinbad, because the princess says, you have no idea what you've done. Mm. Like, what that thing was. I don't remember what it was now.
It was in a box, and it was mostly, it looked like hair. My theory is, because one of the things, and this is also what reminds me of Merlin, is one of the things is in this time, magic is sort of looked down upon. That the current reigning power is very anti-magic. Yeah. But Saeed's character, which we really should find out what is it.
I know.
I did write it, but my notes are a bit different. Anwar, maybe? Could put Saeed.
Oh, no! Okay, well, next week we'll have his name down.
Yeah. It might be Akbari. So he does look to someone to ask them to use the dark arts magic, dark magic, black magic. They use a bunch of different terms to find Sinbad because he wants to. But one of the things is that she says, the magician woman says that at other times when people were dead, they weren't totally dead. They, but they could have been brought back in some way. So I think whatever Sinbad tossed over was... the princess and her father's brother's remains or something like that, and then they were trying to bring him back to life or something to that effect.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because it feels like they have a sort of magical feel to them as well, so that's what I thought might be going on there. Or it could have been a cursed object or a totem. I think they called it a totem. I think they did call it that. So.
Right. I thought the magic when it came to the necklace.
Yeah.
The fact that it was the brother's necklace, and he now Sinbad is forced to wear it, and then it's a choker. It's beautiful, but it's a chain.
Yeah.
It's in a chain that will kill him if he stays on land, which was revealed in the second episode, and how they show it keep getting tighter and tighter. It's fascinating.
Yeah, that was really cool. That was
well done.
Yeah, nice analogy. And then there's also should we switch to the second episode?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, so the second episode was more about sort of getting settled on the ship, and there's disagreement on whether or not they should keep sailing and have life as an adventure, or get set on land, and in the midst of that, they get sort of, like, overtaken by, like, water pirate kids that look like they're out of, like, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. And Raz, yeah, a queen of the water thieves, so it's all the water thieves and the queen, and she takes in Sinbad, and she has, like, this, like, dragon-type character, so again, it may remind me of Merlin, because there's, like, a chain of dragon, and he sets it free, and all of a sudden, I'm like, wow, it's really
actually, Mitch looked it up, it's a rock, R-O...
Oh, really?
Oh, Jesus, C or K? Yeah,
yeah, it's... they're in WoW.
Yeah.
Geek flag!
Yeah, it's a giant bird, basically. So it's not actually a dragon.
Okay.
And he said that's the thing about Sinbad is you will come across all sorts of magical characters. It is a magical show with unusual life forms.
Right.
And because I don't know, I don't really know anything about Sinbad. So for me, this is all new.
Yeah.
And he said, no, this what they've been doing is very traditional Sinbad. So as much as we associate dragons with Merlin, this is very much associated with Sinbad, like magical creatures.
Sorry, who said that?
Reg.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, no, well, I get that, and, like, I don't know anything about Sinbad. I haven't seen any Sinbad movies or read any Sinbad stories. It's just that, you know, like, it's just the how it looks and how it feels and the pacing. And
yeah.
It reminds me, and I mean, you know, they're both British shows, and, like, it does remind me of that, so.
And one good thing that it reminds me about Merlin, and we were talking about this, the sets are amazing.
Yeah.
Like, they have real sets.
Yeah.
I'm not used to that with this kind of show. Usually it's B-movie, everything. Like, there's a lot that's green screen, obviously.
Yeah.
But they do have real sets. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, they had some pretty impressive foot chases in the first, I know you're not a fan of chasing. But they had some...
No, those small ones are okay. 2 hours, no.
Yeah, they have pretty impressive foot chases in the first episode, going through the town and on the roofs and all over the place. It was a lot of fun. It was engaging. It was interesting. I found the characters compelling and complicated, you know, and like, you could feel the... One of the things I like about it is both with Sinbad and with the Saeed's character is you can feel the complexity of their situation. Like, you know, like... You know, Sinbad has this, you know, life is an adventure spirit to him, but, you know, that ended up getting him in trouble and getting his brother killed, you know, but, and I can definitely, you can feel the pain of Saeed's character losing his son and wanting revenge and stuff like that. So
right.
Really, you know, it's really complicated, and you can really strongly empathize with both of the characters in conflict, you know, so.
Yeah, it's true. And unlike Saeed's character, Sinbad, at least in the first episode, is comforted by his brother showing up, like almost counseling him through giving him guidance and everything. Now, that didn't show up in the second episode, so I don't know if they're going to continue
that.
I think it did.
Yeah, there was something. There was something, I think, that it, you know, I was surprised to see. I watched them back to back, so they kind of
blend
together.
And, you know, at first, you know, because Sinbad is so young and kind of not very bright.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the thing. The actor looks older than the character I think he's playing, because he's going to grow into being much wiser. But right now, he's young. He's been sheltered in a lot of ways. And now he's, like, literally dealing with weird cultures and
sheltered, but completely resourceful, because his family doesn't really have much at all. So
that's right. You know. So he is the survivor.
Yeah. And his brother did show up in the second episode, because he said, not now, brother, when it looked like Sinbad might die. And then he...
That's nice. I like that the brother gives it a spiritual element. That's interesting.
Yeah. So, like, nice, like, level of mysticism.
And I swear, if Sinbad had not gone back to the rock and released that creature, I would have been so mad.
It was weird, because I knew that was going to happen. The moment, like, they showed it and it was tied up and all, I knew it was going to happen, but I didn't know how they were going to make it happen, how they were going to make it work. And I like the secondary characters. I like the characters on the boat. I like the northerner and the crazy thief girl and doctor. And they're all very interesting characters, so...
And they're all very different.
Yeah.
And even the woman that was the queen, she was really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, she had, like, she was talking, a leader does not leave their friends behind. A leader knows that it's conflict that brings people together. Like, you just got this wisdom from her that, well, has she been around thousands and thousands of years?
Yeah.
And we never got the full story about why she's there with all sorts of children.
Yeah.
You know, and then the fact that the mask on her face is what gives her power in the tribe, and yet she's a prison to it.
Yeah.
So, and then when her son dies, when they murder her son, which again was shocking,
yeah,
that her true face was revealed and then they turned against her.
Yeah.
And then when, you know, she ends up her face is revealed when she says that she loves her son, that she couldn't kill him.
Right.
And then it's the revenge, then the marks come back and they're dark and red. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's a very different take on fables that I haven't seen before.
Yeah, fascinating character. Like, I think, in essence, I actually ended up liking the second episode better because she was so compelling, you know?
And she really was.
Her take on power and all that kind of stuff. And Sinbad trying to outwit her, which was just kind of hilarious because she was like, do you not think I've not done this all before? Do you see the skulls of all my babies and fathers? Like, you know, like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, wow, you cannot get anything past her. Of course he does. You know, because he's in that. But I thought it was a lot of fun. And,
good.
I'll definitely keep watching.
And it's nice for us, it was a show we could watch with dinner, because we certainly couldn't watch Teen Wolf with dinner. We tried, and we're like, no.
No, that's not a dinner movie, a dinner show.
No.
Almost none of the ones we watch are.
No, it's true. So far, Sinbad's probably the closest. Although Continuum, we can watch.
Yeah, Continuum is, too.
That's more of an intelligent, and the violence isn't as gory.
Right. So, well, it looks like it premiered really strongly.
Oh, good.
Which I mentioned last week. I think it did as well as the Merlin season 4 premiere. I did go back and look at the numbers, and it did seem similar. So,
that's great.
Yeah, so it's really great that they have a good show. Wow, space is like the place to be in the summer. They just have.
I know.
Like, you know, they just keep on having new shows, and even with Factor Fate finaleing this week, they still have lots of new shows starting next week, and like it's mid July.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's either paranormal stuff or for me right now, Storage Wars. And I've almost watched all of the Storage Wars, believe it or not. So I'm like, oh my God, space, keep bringing it.
I know, I'm in the same boat. I often watch Storage Wars late at night, and I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, I know what's in that box, or I know there's nothing in that box, or I know that's only one. You know.
It's not one of those shows you can watch more than once, which is probably why they show you some scenes at the beginning, so you can go, oh, yeah.
I find that hard because I also don't want it, because I can always figure out who ends up...
Is what?
Yeah, who ends up winning the Storage War, so...
That's true.
That's so funny. Storage Wars, dude. Okay, so should we wrap up Sinbad?
Sure.
Okay, so that takes us to Factor Fake Paranormal Files.
The last episode.
Season 2D/3, episode 6 or 12, season finale, Iceland Worm Monster and Stonehenge Secrets. Oh my God, this episode was fantastic! I loved it. Did you love it?
I had some issues with the latter half. But I did like it. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I would have done things differently. That's all.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I love the first part. I loved Iceland.
So Icelandic sea creature. Oh, and we had Josh from Just
Again.
Yeah, came back again. I was actually a little surprised at that. Twice in one season, which is cool. And I like seeing him in this format because I had trouble watching Just Creature.
I know. They keep him under control and they edit him down. but he is funny, though. I'm sorry. When he's like, hello, I'm in freezing water here.
Yeah, they really play up that stuff. And, so this is amazing. They went to Norway. How awesome.
Was it Norway?
Yeah.
How come I thought... Okay. Is Norway in Iceland? No.
No, Norway's its own country.
That's what I thought. I thought, why did I think it was Iceland?
It's like Norway.
But that makes... Okay, I'm getting mixed up with another episode of Destination Truth where they were in Iceland.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's the reason.
Oh,
okay.
Wait. It was Icelandic sea creature. I'm sorry. But they spoke Norwegian.
Oh.
I don't know. I swear it sounds like Norwegian. No, it said Icelandic. Sorry. I apologize.
Oh, Ari, I was right?
I'm shocked. Don't be so surprised.
Like me and names getting it right? No.
But, yeah, so they went to, apparently, I think Iceland. Like, double check.
Okay, they went to some place cold.
Well, there was someone whose name was, like, Rottier. So I'm like, how could that not be Norwegian? But,
I don't know the Icelandic language. You never know.
Yeah, go to Iceland. Yeah, you are so right.
Okay. Not to worry, Shannon. So they're looking for this snake in the water.
Yeah, a worm monster.
A worm monster. Oh, yeah, I guess it was. It looked more like a snake to me.
It
but
did
yes.
look like a snake because it did this. Like, it actually
yeah.
came through the top.
And snakes that actually swim do that. Yeah.
So they did. It's funny because they have done one that was kind of felt like this, but on a different lake, and quite a while ago, might have even been season one, and wasn't Norway. They didn't have the lore.
Yeah.
But they started off with floating debris. It's always scary.
Yeah.
The motion was pretty good on that, actually. I thought.
I was really surprised. I thought it was very well done.
Yeah, and I think it has to do with sort of like the tide and how the water goes, like just naturally.
Yeah.
They also did a remote control monster.
That's right.
Which actually looked pretty good too. And then they did a night investigation, and it was so funny because I think last week I think he said something about night investigations and why do they keep doing them on the water? It was for a different show, and then I watched this like that. Susie's gonna love this.
Yeah.
And they did get a big signal under the boat, but I don't think they actually...
They didn't actually see anything because it was nighttime.
Nighttime, so... And it was cool. So, Josh was actually in the investigation, the situation room afterwards. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
There he is.
He was actually even piloting the ship.
Yeah.
Which I was really impressed with. I've seen him do, like, little boats, but that was a big boat. That was like a fishing vessel.
Yeah.
And I was really excited to see him do that. It's one thing I really like about him. He's very resourceful.
Yeah. So... I thought it was a fun one.
So what did you think? Did you think the debris? Like, I looked at the debris, and I'm like, that could be it. And I didn't think it moved as much as the guy thought it was moving.
I thought it moved a fair amount. I just, for me, the color and of the debris felt wrong, but they were creating it.
But it was snowing when they captured it. So if it was debris that's been on the water, it would have been covered in snow and been reflective.
True. But they also had a fair amount of stories of people seeing it, too.
That's true.
But they could have seen lots of different things, so... I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a sucker. I think, you know, like, monsters could totally exist.
Of course! So do I!
Oh, there's so much water down there. Who knows what could be down there? So... Yeah, but I thought they...
But they said not very much is living in that water.
Right.
So, you know, that's pretty... It's pretty exciting that they see anything at all. I don't know if they have problems with something. Like, I mean, because if that was debris, that was a lot of debris.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been a log, I suppose, but it didn't really look like one because it was, I think, a serpentine-type movement.
It was the movement that got me, that I found
compelling.
But I thought that they pretty strongly recreated that, and so it kind of feels like that's sort of what the currents and the water do. So.
Yeah, that's true. And what was their conclusion on that one?
They said that they had a very compelling recreation.
They don't think it was hoaxed,
no.
I don't think, but they don't know.
Yeah, I think that was.
So it was sort of left open.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
And then we
had... So the big... Yeah, the big one was the next one, Shannon.
Yeah, rebuilding Stonehenge. It's simple... engineering techniques. You were not impressed. I was so impressed. Why were you not impressed? I was not impressed because, like, they went to Stonehenge for, like, 5 minutes and then, like, left.
That's the part that bothered me.
Yeah. That I can totally, I would imagine that they, I could probably figure it out, but it probably feels like they piggybacked, you know, another, you know, UK excursion and then actually did the recreation. But a lot of what this was about was the guy in, I guess, was it Michigan? Yeah, in Michigan.
Yeah.
Who came up with the theory of how it could happen. So, and it's not like I don't think they could do a night investigation at Stonehenge. Like, I don't think there's weird things that happen at night. It's just about...
Well, but I mean, just know, trying to see, you know, ley lines, electromagnetic fields, I mean, doing a night investigation. They do night investigation for everything else.
But it's not like people have seen ghosts at Stonehenge, like the...
But it's powerful. Where is the power coming from?
Right.
Maybe they could hear something. Maybe, you know, like when it comes to like audio waves of, you know, some aliens from the universe.
Right.
Like it's supposed to be like this portal. Like some people think it's a portal. Not everyone thinks of it just as a clock. That I think that there was so much there they could have done that they should have done a whole episode and done not just the reconstruction, but done an investigation. It seemed crazy to me to talk to some guy 5 minutes at the most about Stonehenge,
yeah.
And while you're there. So that was the part that I was like, you know, and the technology, that's nothing new to me. There's people have been saying that's how the pyramids were built too. So this, I've never seen it done before.
Right.
But there's been this theory that the guy came up with to do the Stonehenge, but that's been the theory with the pyramids as well. So for me, that wasn't really anything new. What was new for me would have been to actually get to investigate. Now, maybe they weren't allowed. It's very, very secure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's not like anyone can just go there. But anyway, but it was neat. It was quite amazing to see. And, of course, their reaction to the big rock falling on the car was
hilarious.
Austin was hysterical, as usual.
Yeah. I guess for me, I didn't have, like, I thought that was kind of weird, but that they didn't stay in Stonehenge that long, like, it definitely, I was like, whoa, that was really brief, but they weren't, they were investigating how you could create this, they weren't, like, I thought
yeah.
they were pretty clear at that, this guy is a theory, we're going to test it out, so, like, that is the theory about Stonehenge that they were testing out, you know.
And I was impressed that they did it without his, like, he coached them at first, but then
yeah.
he wasn't part of it.
Yeah, they actually did work, and it looks like it took a lot of time, like, some of the times
yeah.
they were saying that, you know, like, it would take, you know, they were moving it, whatever, like, a quarter of an inch at a time or something, like, that was, but to see that it actually worked, I was like, holy crap!
It's a huge project.
Yeah, like, I don't understand the science behind it, but wow, that is, I guess, probably a little more, it's math and science because it's engineering, but unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then they had Kofi Kingston, who I'm not familiar with, a WWE superstar.
Yeah, I wondered if you knew him, that BAM, the lightning BAM guy.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
It's so funny, his Wikipedia page, that's what it has on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I wonder why.
He's apparently from this, he started in 2006, which was after I stopped watching wrestling, so, but I thought he was pretty, he was fun, like, you know, he's a great, addition to the team, temporary team.
But, yeah, I would agree, it was nice that they had guests for both.
Yeah, yeah, so, and I thought putting them together, it was a pretty stellar season finale, like,
I would agree.
Really interesting stories, had some travel, had some guests, really went out with a bang, and, I really, well, we haven't heard then we'll see more.
No, so there's been no talk? Like, hopefully it's been renewed.
I would hope so. I think it's actually, every time I look at it, it seems to be doing quite well.
It just seems to be building and building
over
time.
Like, even if you look at their Facebook fan page that Christiane does, like, it's just exploded. Like, it just, you know, there's lots of good stuff. They were also at Comic-Con as well.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, that really, to be honest, is one of those things, like, I've gone through, like, different stages of, like, Comic-Con jealousy to, like, Comic-Con denial to, like, whatever, but I cannot deny the effect it has on fandom. Like, Lost Girl went to Comic-Con either last year or the year before and did Fan Expo, and since then, they have skyrocketed, like, just without question. I'm not saying that's the only reason, like, it's also a fabulous show. And on a topic that is not, like, that's close to, but not the same as anything else, and it's very fun. So, you know, which is actually pretty similar to when you think of the Factor Fate, like, different, you know, specifics, but, you know, really dynamic. So, I hope I will keep my ear to the ground here about when we'll see new episodes, or if I hear about renewal, but I'd be very surprised if we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I
hope we get more too.
Yeah.
Well, we'll keep an eye out for the fan page on Facebook. They're really good at letting us know.
Absolutely. Cool. Does that wrap up Factor Fate?
It does.
All right. Okay, so School of Spirits. Season 1 premiere episodes, and episode 1 and 2, Sorority House Terror, and Dorm Room Nightmare. And so this is a nonfiction show with dramatic recreations with, I want to say survivor testimony, but that's kind of morbid. Eyewitness testimony? Eyewitness.
Right.
So the people that had whatever happened to them talk.
They tell their story.
They tell their story, and then we also see a recreation. No, but with the sorority house, sometimes the girls look so much the same, I thought it was the same girls.
I know, same here. For the first episode especially, I'm like going, because it's obviously that it was recent, too. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, but the second episode, it was obviously actors because the age, you know, because it's something that happened in, 1986, so there was a time as opposed to a class of 2009 or something. So, I wonder if we want to talk about this. So, if the format, I was a little leery, to be honest, because the format's very similar to Paranormal Witness, and I really did not connect with that show at all.
Yeah.
But I loved School Spirits.
Oh, good!
It's about, the title kind of infers, it's about paranormal things that happen at people when they're at school. So, dorms, one was a dorm and one was a sorority house. Two scenarios. But yeah, I loved it. I thought it was fabulous. The stories were compelling. They were scary. The recreations were good as opposed to kind of weird or cheesy. And it was really engaging. And I think I was a little surprised that they're an hour. But I think you really need that time to connect with the people and their stories. And they were much more sympathetic, I thought, than they could have been with the people that were involved. We're actually sympathetic to what was going on, which makes a difference.
Definitely.
So, and the first one was centered in a sorority house in 2007, where the girls who lived there sort of started to feel sick and get agitated towards each other. Weird stuff would happen. They would hear noises. There would be bugs. Especially in the downstairs laundry room. They saw person, they saw an entity, that crazy Chloe entity thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And even had other people come in. One of the girls' moms came in and saw something, and I thought it was really compelling and really scary. How they lived, and also you didn't know. This is actually maybe one of the reasons why I like the show. You don't, in the preview, see, the climax. Some things when they were revealed, that glowing orb thing. I was totally freaked out. I didn't see that coming. At all, and wow, it was so compelling. What did you think?
Well, I think it was just so cool in some ways that these stories were all collected individually, because in some ways, at the time, nobody knew that this was happening to anybody else.
Oh yeah, that's true.
You know, they kept it all separate, so I love that they literally did that with its separate girls' stories. And I got confused after a while who was who and
me too.
whose stories was which, but then I was like, oh, just go with it. And then, you know, you get clues about the guy that you see, that is he a good guy, is he a bad guy, and then there's one girl who's actually thrown out of bed, but it saves her life and everybody's life there, because there would have been a fire if that hadn't happened. And then we even get the backstory about who the guy was. And then instead of blaming him because he threw himself in front of that orb thing, you know, that the girl realized that he was actually protecting her. You know, and the more they learned about his background and the fact that many of his daughters died in that house. Right? No, he died.
He left the house. He was
and then
sick.
Died.
He had TB, tuberculosis, and he got sicker and sicker in the house. And the girls, when they were living in the dorm, got sick and sicker while they were there. Just this sort of weird, wilting away kind of sickness. And then he eventually left with his wife and never came back.
Right.
So, and he had, I think, four or five daughters.
It's almost like the sickness was personified.
Yeah.
The sickness wasn't necessarily TB, that there was something just wrong, and that when it tried to attack that girl, that he saved her, that he put himself in harm's way for her. I was, like, emotional. I was like, geez, yeah. I didn't see that coming. These are young women and stuff, and I was so impressed with the complexity, the fact that everything resonated truthfully, that I really was impressed with how mature they were and how they could see the whole story by the end of it once they revealed it to each other, and how frightening to go through that all by yourself. And it's true, there are places that are bad that make you feel bad.
And it was amazing to see that sort of, like, over time, like, that they started to not feel well, that they started to feel distance from each other. When they had an encounter, they were scared, you know, and they didn't want to tell each other. And, like, you know, and then when it all sort of comes out, they all, like, had experiences and shared of it. Mm-hmm. And it was really powerful that one of the turning point was that the girl who had seen the guy a fair amount said, you know, that, you know, realized that he could be trying to protect her, as opposed to, and that he could have felt disempowered when he was in the house, and that she trusted him and let him, not only saved her, but saved him, because afterwards the house was quiet. It's just like, oh my god, like, it's honestly, it's a lot like stories we see in shows like Supernatural, but, like, actually happening. Or Paranormal State, you know, like, it's unbelievable. Well,
it's pretty much the same format as celebrity ghost stories, and because you kind of know these people too, it's very powerful, I find. I love listening to people's stories, and I agree with you. There was something about the other show. What was it called?
Paranormal Witness.
Yeah, for some reason that one didn't resonate with me either.
It was told by, like, what, horror stories, and I think a lot of times maybe the people didn't survive, which is maybe why I jumped to using the term survivors. In this one, you know what I mean? Like, there are people that went missing, or unsolved mystery type things, but in that situation, you don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Like, if someone went missing, you really don't, and you don't know if it was paranormal, you know?
That's true. And then we had a second story about the guy who was the runner who was at school and, you know, totally loved running, and a similar thing happened to him when he was at school. He started not feeling like himself, not feeling very well. And I have to say, this episode did scare
me.
Did it scare you?
Yeah, it scared me a lot. You know, because it was, like, one of the things that he started to have is he started to hear his name. He started to feel people, like, feel someone touch him. He got scratches on his back. But some of the things that I thought were, like, the recreations that they did that were so successful, like, that were scary in terms of being successful, well, I guess that's what I was aligning that to, is, like, it was weird, because one of the things is he had a friend, or, like, that he brought in, and they tried to, like, sort of rationalize or communicate, and this happened in 86, and I think things were, I know how old I was at that time, so I was sort of into this kind of stuff at that time.
Yeah.
And so the kinds of things that they did were the kinds of things that I would do, like, leave a tape recorder going, or, like, the idea of, like, talking to whatever the entity is, leaving a tape recorder going, and then leaving the room, and then coming back, seeing things have changed, hearing things on the tape. I was, like, totally freaked out. I was, like, I couldn't believe it. Like,
I know.
I did believe
Exactly. Well, his first encounter, when he's sitting there and he can hear his name, and the fact that he doesn't really respond or freak out, but he puts the headphones on and then he hears his name and gets louder, that's happened to me.
Right.
That happened to me, and that's the one time I got up. We were in a hotel, and I said, Reg, we're leaving right now, and it was, like, 6 in the morning. We didn't have any electricity at home, and that's why we were in a hotel in our city, and but it wasn't just my name. There were other things that were even more terrifying. But, like, I'm like that. As long as I can block it out, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But the fact that he tried to block it out and couldn't, that's when I got freaked. And then when his dad came and he sat there all night with the gun and the baseball bat.
The gun kind of freaked me out. Like, I think guns are just less prevalent in urban Canada. Well, actually not Toronto right now. Freaking hell. Had some really bad gun violence, but that would freak me out. The fact that he was scared and he called his dad and his dad came and something happened and his dad didn't even tell him, and but he still knew, and there was a really nice balance between, like, his dad supported him at that time, but he did want him to be able to sort of deal with it on his own, but still said that, you know, you can call me. Like, I was really touched by that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. And how helpless the dad felt.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that the dad said, like, I didn't tell my son.
Yeah.
I never told him. He won't know until he sees this.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God. There was just something so powerful about that. And I also knew as soon as they brought in a priest, or a minister to do the blessing, I knew that was going to result, because it always gets better for a while and then it gets 10 times worse. Mm-hmm. When you bring someone else, you, like he discovered, he has to be the one to stand up to humanity.
Well, that's
it
the thing.
Sucks.
Like it was very centered in his dorm room, and it looked like, and it went to like that, his friend, the girl, it obviously jumped over, you know, to her, but then came back to him, and like the whole thing in the shower, like how he got scratches down his back, like it was just terrifying.
That is terrifying.
You know? And but then to finally face it, and again with empathy, you know, and compassion, and that's what helped him through, you know. And it's just,
and that's what made it stop.
Yeah,
that's what made it stop, you know. Like that's a big deal. You can do righteous anger, but, you know, sometimes that works, depending on if it's a poltergeist and stuff. You can do that, but for me, I would totally try compassion first, you know.
Yeah.
And the fact that the thing was so scary to look at. I mean, I was scared to look at it on TV.
Yeah.
And imagine how he felt
where
he sleeps and where he does his homework.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, wow. So the sort of insinuation from sort of the video that they showed, that it was probably a student who had hung himself.
Yeah, and that's why the chair moved. That's
right.
You know, and it wasn't, and it's weird because that's, I think the storytelling that they craft in both of the episodes has been really good, because I don't know where it's going, but I believe it once it gets there. And that's really adds a layer of mystery, and they usually, and they both have used like how secrets work, and the intrigue of secrets have been in both of the stories, and the element of compassion. Like it's really, I was very impressed.
I'm so glad, Shanna. I'm so glad you liked it. I was hoping you would. And next time Celebrity Ghost Stories is on, you have to watch it then, because if you like this, you'll like that too.
I'll have to keep an eye. I don't even know what channel that one's on.
I don't know. It's not on very often. Oh. It's probably Space, actually, but no? Maybe A&E.
I know Space is long enough very well. Maybe A&E. Maybe I'll see.
Yeah, because they used to do Paranormal State.
I miss Paranormal State.
Me too.
Okay, so set it was School Spirits?
Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay, so, and I'm trying to remember, either School Spirits or Haunted Highway, one of them, I would guess that they're both probably six episodes. It's confirmed that one of them is six episodes, and the other one, it's The Man is TBD, but they're both new again this week, so yay.
Okay.
And then Haunted Highway. Season one, episodes one and two, which is, okay, Bear Lake Beast, Virgus Harryman, and Dark Man of Standing Rock and Black Star Shadow. Okay, so this one is another nonfiction paranormal show starring Jack Osborne.
Jack Osborne.
Jack Osborne and his friend, assistant research person Dana.
That's
yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
I believe so.
and then also Jael and Devin from Factor Fate.
That's right.
So they do one story, like, they each have separate stories, and they're no connection at all. Like, it literally feels like they could be sort of 2 half-hour episodes.
Yeah.
Is the format, and it's very much no crew, just talk to the camera. It reminds me of sort of, like, Blair Witch Project, like, they actually have a sound every time they turn the camera on and off, which I actually really like. It has a very sort of adventurous spirit. Like, now we're here, now we're there, now we're here. Is this on? Is this on? Is this on? I don't know. For some reason, there's a real element.
It feels very real.
Yeah, and it is. It's reality TV. It's documentary, you know, non-fiction TV. But, like, it really captures the spirit of that well. I know you did not like this one that much.
I don't like Jack Osborne.
Right.
So that impacted how I enjoyed his ones. I like the Jael and
Devin
one,
right,
very much.
Right.
What about you?
I didn't know, like, wasn't familiar with Jack Osborne. He's on The Osbournes. He's Ozzy Osbourne's son, I assume?
Yes.
Okay. So I only knew of him because he's on the show, and that you talked about him last week, and then I saw them, and I was like, I'm not really sure what Susie's talking about, and then something happened, I was like, whoa, there it is. Like, I was just like, dude, you don't do that. And I was fine with the first episode, but in the second episode, I had a bit of a problem because the woman is doing this blindfolded thing to see if the creature will ever appear, and she feels, she's blindfolded with her back towards a tree, and she feels something, and she screams, and it's kind of like, well, there's nothing on the video. And I'm like, shocking. And a lot, human being and, scared, your friend, or something. Like,
That's and you'll also notice that how many times does he just take off? And she just hear her saying, Jack, where are you? It's twice now. Once was in the water. I think they lost a connection.
Yeah.
But he was down for a very long time. He would have known that she couldn't communicate with him because he couldn't communicate with her.
Yeah.
And then that also happened when she was scared in this episode and she's calling for him. And I think he was there. And he just didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you noticed also when, with the second episode, they're interviewing a guy about the creature.
Yeah.
And there's only, as far as I know, Jack is filming it, and then you see his response like, oh, yeah, sure, uh-huh. You know that he's doing that either during the interview.
No, they have, you can see, it looks like their camera's filmed both ways.
Really?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Okay, that's well, what, cause
I
still.
Because I noticed it with one of the ones that Devin and Jael have at night. It looks like they film in front of them, but they also film, like, they film what they're seeing, and they film their reaction at the same time.
I think. Okay, well,
like,
either
we should
way.
Ask Devin. We should see if we can ask.
It's true. We should. That's a
we
good
should.
Time
we
question.
Should leave a comment on his blog.
We should. But still, it was just incredibly disrespectful.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's telling stories, he's like, like, and, you know, his conclusion at the end, even though they have that amazing footage of a shadow going by the woman when she's, you know, she has her reaction. Like, to me, that's very compelling. He's like, yeah, it's just not real. So I'm starting to get the feeling he's more about disproving than he is about proving. But I just, like, he's such an idiot.
I was
not a likable person.
I was really shocked about that one because, mostly at that, because this is like, there's a human being, they're scared, they're in the dark with you, trying to whatever. And, like, you know, like, and also in contrast, that episode where Jael and Kevin are like, they lose their horses at night in the middle of nowhere. Like, everything went wrong on there with the, I think that was the Dark Man of Standing Rock. And she sees red eyes and screams, and Devin just goes, wow!
Yeah!
Like, the guy, you, like, he, like, 100%, man, the guy was there for her. So to see that in contrast. So,
I mean, and then she even, with the flare and everything, he knew how, what that meant, and that,
and that
he
they
was
had
just
a
so
system, worried. That they had, like, they worked, you know, I don't know how much they, you know, like, we've seen them on Fact or Fake, so they know each other and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't imagine in that scenario not, you know, reacting to someone's fear, like, so.
I know.
It's very surprising, especially since you need that level of trust, like, you guys are doing these experiments in the dark, you don't know what's out there, you know, so.
Yeah.
I did find that a challenge in terms of watching it, and quite surprising. But I did some of the things, like, I love the format. I love the flip on and off of the different cameras for some reason. I just adore that. I think it's fun. It reminds me of found footage films like Blair Witch or Wreck or those. You know, I think it's implemented very well. In The Last Exorcism. And wow, it's funny. All those movies are horror movies. I guess you wouldn't have a found footage like family drama. Someone could do that.
You could.
But I loved how they did, like, in the first episodes, they, you know, the two things that you need to know about this place are the Bear Lake Beast and have, like, a, what was it, like a raspberry milkshake or something.
Yeah, I know!
So, like, they taste the local culture, and, like, they're just sitting there like, wow, this is really good.
That sort of stuff, and I do like the travel element.
Yeah.
So now I'm warming up to the name more than I did before, because I thought that kind of bugged me before, but, yeah, it's just, I'm like, with Jack, I'm like, she's going to get hurt. Something's going to happen to her, or some. I don't feel he's very responsible. Like, for him, it's the Jack show. Like, it's like, if she starts asking questions and stuff, watch to see if he gets annoyed. He doesn't like being told what to do. He has to be in control. This is his project. That's the sense I'm getting. And I don't think he's a very respectful person. And the fact that he did that to that guy, I was like, oh my God, that's the Jack Osborne.
So weird. I don't remember that at all.
Really? Well, you'll see it in the collage. Okay. I got a smug look on his face for the collage. Well, I don't want to give away anything,
yeah,
right?
True. It's funny.
But I mean, I love this sort of thing. I thought that I found the Jael and Devin one, as you were saying, with the horses. That one was so compelling. I love that they talked to so many people in the native culture and how it was interesting that people there didn't want to talk about it.
Yes. And who
and how hard it was
help them and challenge because most I think all of the ones that we've seen them go to, it's been relatively small communities, you know, and whether or not people are willing to, you know, share or support, like that guy who let them the horses. But you could, and you, that was also interesting too, because you could feel like Jael was mad, like she was mad, like didn't you tie them up? Yes, I tied them. Like it was like, whoa, that.
She's like, next time I'm tying them up.
Like it was real, right? But then again, also got the balance of you know, of when something when it hits the fan, and you know they do support each other. So I was, and Jael always looks so cool. I'm like, you can tone down the cool sometimes when you're in the small communities. Like, you don't have to, but she always looks so awesome. Like, she's such a
rock star. It's true.
So.
And I gotta say, it might be the one and only time we see Devin have a hissy fit. When he couldn't find the tech, he was looking for a camera, and he freaked out and threw the thing on the ground. Because, you know, he's such a happy, he's such a happy, enthusiastic guy. But, my God, when he, and I think he did this for the first one, too, something about Jael calling him and how he ran. Like, it's like with Josh, too. He's like that, too, that whole running right away, no hesitation, I'm here to help you, what the hell's going on? I was like, in comparison to Jack, it's two different shows.
Yeah, it's very different. Yeah, it's just the energy of the two teams is so completely different. And like, you know, one of the things is, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, you also, like, I'm aware that I bring my own awareness and bias to it. Like, if this is the first time I had ever seen anyone, I might have thought, I can't believe that Devin didn't tie up the horses. But I've seen two seasons or whatever on Fact or Fake. I'm pretty sure they tied up the horses and it was something weird happened or whatever.
And they just were so scared that they didn't matter how much you tied them up.
Or something let them go so they couldn't get
That's true, too, because, oh, my God, so much happened.
Yeah, oh, my God, the Dark Man one was freaking me out. Like, it was
I know, and then the lightning storm and the red eyes and the, oh, my God, it was awesome.
A little bit before the red eyes that actually did look like a figure on the horizon, not when I 100% believed. And the thing in the forest when she did that blindfold thing, I totally, I'm like, you see it, it's like clip, 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 there it is. Like, I don't know what it is.
I don't know what Jack was expecting to see that would make him think that it was real, because that's pretty much what we were expecting.
Yeah. So, really weird, because I think in that one I believed both of them, but in the first one I was a little more skeptical of both of them.
Well, I mean, the first one where Jack is looking in caves underwater, you can't see anything, you know? Like, it's so ridiculous to me. And then you can't draw any conclusions because it's in the dark.
Yeah.
You're not going to have any file footage to look at.
Yeah. So, but, I, you know, for me, like, I think I'm trying to remember, maybe I have it here, which one is six episodes and which one is... Haunted Highway is noted as six episodes and goes straight through to August.
Okay.
So it's new every week, should be, and then School Spirits, we don't know how long it is. So, I'm definitely, for six episodes, you know, we've seen two already, I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
It's so, I'm so glad, Jane, because I know that the nonfiction stuff doesn't always work with you, but the fact that, I think the fact that Jael and Devin are on this one.
Yeah.
You know, I think that is, it's a good tie-in for you. And the storytelling format, you know, like I said, there's something about listening to people's stories. They do such a good job on School Spirits. Like, it's, you really just empathize with these people who obviously been through something pretty traumatic.
Yeah, for sure.
So, good. I'm glad you enjoyed
it. It's so funny because listening to the stories was the exact reason I wasn't that interested in Paranormal Witness. And I think I even said when we talked about it, I'm like, yeah, I'm not that interested in people's stories. I'm like, wow, that feels pretty freaking heartless. And of course, that's not true, but it's not necessarily what I get drawn to. Like, sometimes I'm more drawn to information, like, especially with this kind of thing when it's not her shows. Like, what could it be? Like, what did, you know, like, what happened? What could have happened? What didn't happen? Like, all that kind of stuff. It's just kind of like, Wow. So I'm curious to see how this one will keep going. And I like that it has a different pacing and format, and that it's a little rough around the edges. I think that's one of the things I like about it, is it's a little more rough around the edges. Like, and it's not, like, Fact or Fake is very direct to the camera. This is what we're doing. This is
formulaic.
What this is. And I like that. I like, because it's informational. It's almost instructional. It's one of the things I like about this. This is like, you know, like, it's enough but different, so it makes it not, it makes it feel like not like competition, like that is itself.
That's true. Separate. And it's also, you do get the sense that they are driving along the highway, that they don't have any pre-interviews, like a lot of the pre-interviews planned. Like, that guy riding his horse really was just out riding a horse.
I love that. And like, how Giles just like runs to the camera, just like, yeah, I got it. Like, it's like, yeah, like there's some, the sense of adventure really comes through. So I really,
yeah, I totally agree.
I like that. So good stuff. Well, definitely, you're going to watch both of them?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So, do you want
to... I think we better stop, Shane, because I seem to be having some sort of meltdown with my throat. So I think I'm done.
Okay, well, so that's it for this week. We will be back next week with more awesome, probably all of this, except for Factor Faint completed, but we'll be back for more.
Yeah.
Yeah, great season. I heard some people say that they didn't like this season as much. I'm like, what?
I don't know what they're talking about. I thought it was awesome. Maybe because they have more money or something.
I don't know. This one, well, I liked how they branched out a bit. The first episode was the one with the Iceman, and I'm like, this is a totally different perspective. I liked how they pushed, and I thought it was good. So, but we'll be back with more Teen Wolf, Continuum, Sinbad, School Spirits, Haunted Highway, and I don't know if we'll get in Alphas and Almighty Johnsons, or if we'll have to...
Oh, my God.
I know. We might have to pair them off, like, split the Monday stuff, and put some of it a week behind or something. I'll take a look.
We'll have to do something, because that's a lot.
That's a lot, so we'll go back to our 5-minute rule.
Yeah, maybe that's, I'll get my timer out again.
So, that's it for this week, and make sure to check out, if you're in Canada, Alphas and Almighty Johnsons on July 23rd!
Absolutely, and happy early birthday, Shannon.
Oh, thank you, Susie.
You're welcome.
All right.
Have a great week, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Hexed Sisterhood of the Supernatural. You can find us online on our blog, hexedpodcast.blogspot.com. Come and join our Facebook fan page by searching Hexed Sisterhood of the Supernatural, or email us directly at hexedpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us online individually. Susie, where can people find you?
You can find me at susieridler.blogspot.com or susiethefoodie.blogspot.com. And Shannon, where can people find you?
You can find me, Shannon the Movie Moxie, at moviemoxie.blogspot.com. And so that's it for this week. And thanks so much for listening. You've been listening to Hexed Sisterhood of the Supernatural, all Supernatural TV.
All the time.